Good to be back.
So Kevin Warsh, like him, don't like him, what do you got?
I think that he's going to do a good job. I don't see any, he's a credible guy. I think he's a good pick. When you look at the economic side, on the economic side of things, mm-hmm. I honestly think unless you're really partisan or you have TDS, I think it's really hard to punch a hole in pretty much anybody he's picked for economic office. I'm sure he's sympathetic to Trump's interest rate outlook, but he's been around a long time. He's not some like dove that just, you know, wants to throw free money around. Now, what they do with monetary policy, though, the math has changed. Like, look, there are going to be no interest rate cuts at any time in the near future. You can't do that because one of the issues you have, generally speaking, in monetary policy, we raise interest rates to cap demand, okay? You lower interest rates to increase demand. When you have a fuel shortage, like we do, and like we're going to for a while, you do not want to do anything to spur demand, right? Because we are effectively going to be playing a game of chicken with global oil supplies, and we don't want to step on oil demand, but we certainly don't want to do anything to stimulate it. So, no, I think he's a good, sensible pick. I think he's a respected guy. I think of all the choices that were getting floated around, Warsh was my favorite. And I think he's going to do a good job. But I think there's a lot of people that believe a lot of fantastic things. Rate cuts are completely off the table.
Yeah. And I mean, and I should mention that he's the new chair of the Federal Reserve. But, you know, as you've talked about on the show quite a bit, and as the president has talked about, he wasn't happy with Jerome Powell, wasn't happy that he wasn't getting rate cuts. And so I would presume that he's selected someone who he thinks will deliver him the things that Jerome Powell would not. But again, there's supposed to be this, you know, separation between the president. The president is not supposed to control the chair of the Federal Reserve. But the fact that Trump is Trump, you know, I think that he wants loyalty and expects loyalty even out of his Supreme Court nominees. Do you believe that he has an expectation that Warsh will play ball with him?
I'm sure he does. Donald Trump does not strike me as the kind of guy that wouldn't have had conversations with Kevin Warsh prior to this.
We voted for him, but let's be honest about him. Yes.
Right. But we have to remember that Warsh is one of 12 votes on the FOMC board.
Yeah.
Okay. So he doesn't make the decision. When I look at the rest of the FOMC board, the composition of that is not changing. So I would expect to see very little change in monetary policy going forward. But what people need to understand is whether he's supportive or on board with Trump, whatever. Guys, if we're talking about stock prices, mm-hmm. okay, me nor anybody else can tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff happens, right? But here's the thing. I want to dispel people of something. There is nothing special or magical going on in oil markets. You are going to have a massive inflationary surge at the end of this year. Are you going to be more like 6%? You're going to be more towards 7.5%. We'll figure that out. But you're getting a massive inflationary surge. And anybody that says you're not, literally just like, you can't take, if they tell you the sky's blue, don't trust them. Okay. They don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So in an environment like that, you can't cut rates. Nobody's going to cut rates. It doesn't matter what Trump says. It would not be a good economic decision to cut rates either. Yeah. You don't want to spur demand.
Yeah. All right, let's do some watchdogging. I like the Vance Fraud Task Force. I feel like it's doing a better job of what DOGE was meant to do.
I agree.
Like in a quicker way. So far they've recovered $22 billion in small business loans that they say were fraudulent, $1.3 billion in Medicaid reimbursements. And I think recovered partially is, I think they're trying to claw some of this back still, but I've identified and are in the process of trying to recover. $6.3 billion in government contracts, $60 million in student aid. Here is Stephen Miller talking alongside J.D. Vance at a fraud task force update.
I believe based on what I've seen and what I've heard is that we could balance the federal budget if the only dollars that went out of the Treasury went to individuals who were properly, lawfully, correctly eligible to receive them. And that ultimately is going to be what we have to do as a country. In the meantime, because of the vice president's leadership, you are seeing the most muscular, robust, aggressive, dedicated, determined, and speedy effort to shut down criminal fraud that has not only ever occurred in the history of this country, but in any developed nation.
Yeah, and I should, I said recovered. I shouldn't have said recovered. That's incorrect. Referred $22 billion in allegedly fraudulent Small Business Administration loans to the Treasury, deferred $1.3 billion in Medicaid reimbursements, a lot of that from California, flagged billions in other questionable spending. So it's almost, and look, whether they recovered or not, you're talking about a huge change moving forward in the amount of fraudulent taxpayer funds being used.
Yeah, on the face of it, I'm going to call BS on the idea that you can cut the government deficits strictly by that. But getting back to the original discussion around Doge that you and I talked about 100% of the time, if any type of cost cutting or fraud cutting program ends up taking away 10% of the deficit or 15 or 50, who cares? If it takes away 5, it's a good thing, right? So nobody. The other thing too, and this is what kind of piggybacks on a conversation that you and I were having last week. Remember when we were talking about, I think a lot of these people don't do these things because they're bad. They do them because they're incompetent, right? And they focus on these easy, nonsensical wins because they can't win any other way. Yeah. I think there is some similarity, in this scenario right here. Meaning, a interesting story I thought about you. We know a friend that works in IT for the state of Washington. I don't want to get more specific than that because I've recently had some cause to think that the state cares about what I say.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put anybody else in peril, right?
Sure, yeah. Don't let them know who our friends are. We got to protect our friends. Yes.
Exactly. So anyway, they were telling me that the state purchased a software database type management program.
Yeah.
12 years ago. They still have not gone live with it, and they have paid user subscriptions and licensing fees the entire time.
Wow. Yeah, that's government.
12 years. So what is that going to look like? Is it going to be like DOS?
Yeah.
12 years ago, right? And so now you're at a point, why don't even finish implementing it. Are these people sitting in smoke-filled rooms, stroking their hairless cat, like trying to come up with ways to defraud you?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a small percentage that are bad actors like that. Just what you have is just mass incompetency. And you've got it on the federal level, certainly. But I think even more so, you've got it on the state level where it's just pure incompetence. And I think anything that we do that looks into fraud, I mean, it's, you know, I... Only the modern day Democratic Party could be against that, right? Like, kind of like their stance on data centers. You're just looking at them going, what?
Let's clarify, against rooting out fraud? Let's clarify about this incompetence versus like Dr. Evil. The government side, I do believe a lot of that is incompetence, lack of care, you know, it's not my money. But I do think it's intentional, obviously. A lot of it on the other side, you know, like what's happening with Medicaid in California. I mean, they know that they're not running like a care facility. You know, they know they're not running a legitimate business. So it's the incompetence from the government. But I think a lot of what we're seeing, you know, in Minnesota and California and Washington State with like childcare providers, they know that they're stealing money from the taxpayers.
Oh, 100%. And then I think that, you know, if you think about the way these things work, I think they become institutionalized where you get a lot of people doing this and rubber stamping things because that's just what we've always done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Where you look at it from the outside and you're like, oh, but no, you're 100% right. I mean, for instance, all you'd have to do is, you know, there's a pretty good thick layer of trail crumbs or breadcrumbs, right, between the people they're giving this money fraudulently to. And wouldn't you know, a lot of them are immigrants that have just recently registered to vote and just happen to be like 98% on the Democratic side, you know? Yeah. So, but no nefarious intent.
No.
I mean, there's no,
not at all.
Nobody's fishing behind the net.
No. I think the really telling thing is how many, like for instance, the hospice providers in California that they pointed out, they're not like challenging this. You know, when the payments are deferred or they're closed down or defunded, they aren't saying, wait a second, we're a real hospice. What are you talking about? They're like, oh, you caught us. Let's move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, obviously, they've done something wrong. They need to be prosecuted. But Vance said that in total, all across the board, they believe that there was $186 billion at least in improper payments last year alone. That's more than twice the biannual budget of the state of Washington. I mean, that's a significant amount of money. And I think that's probably only scratching the surface.
Oh, I it's really hard to look like whether you want to attribute it to fraud or like, it is really hard to look at the bureaucracy that is the federal government.
Yes.
And I'm not saying it'd be easy, but I cannot believe that you could not extract 20 to 30% from that budget and not feel much of a pinch at all.
Yeah.
It might be creative. It might take some work and digging, and I'm sure it would, but there's just no way that you have that large of a bureaucracy and not, you know, and the more I've dug into stuff here on the state side, when you, like, whatever you see on a state side, you just magnify that at a federal level, right?
Right.
And it's wild.
Yeah, and I think we're improving things for years to come, even if you get a Democrat in the White House, because when you start prosecuting people and putting people in prison in high-profile cases for this kind of fraud, like they are doing in Minneapolis, I mean, that one woman got, was it 40 years in prison for her involvement in some of the Somali fraud that happened there? She was a white woman, but she was like at the center, like one of the ringleaders or whatever in the Feeding America or something fraud. And then you start to have these indictments in California. It does change behavior, because if you've been able to get away with something for like 5 years and then all of a sudden there's all these prosecutions, I do believe that that will reduce the likelihood of fraud under any president in the future.
Yeah, I really wish, and there's a litany of things like that, and there's a long list, and I'm sure a lot of people have it, but I really wish that we would pass a law in this country that if you choose to be a public servant and you get caught with any type of, now if it's like drunk driving or a regular kind of crime, yeah, or whatever, then you're a regular citizen. But if you get found guilty of the misappropriation of funds, mm-hmm, in whatever way, you get double the regular sentence.
Yeah.
Right. You know what kills me about this? The people that we pinch are never elected officials.
Yeah.
Right. And yet they're the ones that benefit from it. And I'm sitting there going, you know, qui bono, who benefits here?
Yeah.
And you're telling me that the senator that happened to win the election because of that lady's fraud didn't have a hand. I mean, come on. Yeah. Right. I want to pin, and whether they've got an R or a D next to their name, I want their on a wall.
Yeah.
Right. Like, pin them to the wall, and I want double the punishment for them that regular citizens get.
Yeah, I mean, there should be some sort of consequence for, you know, being in charge of a system that allowed that much fraud. Yet the people who doled it out, put no safeguards in place, didn't have any sort of requirement to prove to us you're a hospice or a childcare facility, no consequence for them. You're totally right. It's ridiculous.
Right. And yet, look at me. I'm legally I am held to the grindstone for anything,
yeah,
that goes wrong that any of my employees do. And yet you get elected to public office and, oh, yep, weird, you know, misappropriation of funds that happened to help me get elected. I didn't have anything to do with it. Oh, that's interesting.
100%. Yeah. All right, let's talk about some good news. So the initiative to repeal the Washington state income tax, record breaking. They got 100,000 signatures in 1 week. That's that's unheard of. And part of it, a lot of it, I think, is attributable to the system Let's Go Washington has built, where they can get, and they haven't even, by the way, as of that count, mailed out, people can pre-order who've already signed one of the initiatives. Those haven't even hit the mailboxes yet.
Yeah.
I mean, and so that's like boots on the ground out gathering signatures. That's insane. So there's a ton of enthusiasm for it. Not a surprise. But again, I go back to this question of, is it too little too late? So we continue to see flight already, and there's news of new businesses moving all the time, and states are taking advantage of that. Get this out of, this is a headline from the Seattle Times. So, you know, Starbucks is like going to Tennessee.
Yeah. Not really.
Tennessee approved $30 million in a state grant for, mm-hmm, Starbucks to move there. How do you compete with that? They're giving them money to move there, $30 million.
Well, I mean, a good start would be not standing out in front of their business telling people not to buy their stuff.
But that's asking too much.
That would be a start. Look, I've thought a lot about this. It might be too little, too late for now. For me personally, though, I literally said this at one of our last meetings. I was like, look, guys, in my opinion, this is like kind of the last ride of Wyatt Earp and the Immortals, yes, right? We got one shot at this sucker. Mm-hmm. And let's give them hell for the next 18 months and see where we end up. But here's what I do know. And what I do know is that, and I love this place. I was born and raised here. When the summer starts coming around again, you start looking and going, there's just no other place on earth like it.
Yeah.
And what I know is what I love about this place. And if we start making the right decisions, people will come back here for the same reasons they came in the first place, right? And we can do, the other thing too is, let's get back to being Washington, right? Like I like you and I have talked about before, I don't think we're turning this into Trump country or MAGA land or anything like that, but let's just get back to that kind of like Northeastern or Blue Dog sensible, you know, even shaded blue, that's fine. Let's just get back to common sense, caring about families, caring about neighborhoods, tough on crime, sensible stuff, clean cities, right? I look at the situation we're in, a dear friend of both of ours, Dory Monson, right? Like, get back to Dory, right? Like, the Dory Monson, I just feel like he's so emblematic of like the heart of Washingtonians.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sensible, good people, not extreme on anything. You know, fans of business.
Yeah, living their life, want to be left alone by the government, you know.
Compassionate. Free. Yeah. You know, civically minded, civically active, giving back, right? Like just, this has just gone so far off the rails. It's not even who we are anymore. And so I've got hope. It's always darkest before the dawn. And I think the old girl's got a few punches left in her, and I think we can win this thing.
Yeah, we'll do whatever we can. It's always darkest before the dawn. That's nice. That's a nice place to end, Zach. I like that. All right, we'll see you next week.
All right, thanks for having me.